I'm not a singer, so I'm not going to sing. But I did request that last song that we sang, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. There was only three verses in our hymnal, but there's a fourth verse to it. Blessed Savior, Thou hast promised, Thou wilt all our burdens bear. May we ever, Lord, be bringing all to Thee in earnest prayer. Soon in glory bright, unclouded, there will be no need for prayer. Rapture, praise, and endless worship will be our sweet portion there. What a friend we have in Jesus. The man that wrote this song, his name was Joseph Scriven. He was born in 1819 of prosperous parents in Bainbridge County, Ireland. He was a graduate of Trinity College. At age 25, he decided to leave his native country and migrate to Canada. His reasons for leaving seemed to be twofold. One was the influence, he was a Plymouth Brethren, and it did not set well with his parents. And his fiancée accidentally drowned in 1845, the night before they were to be married. The grief-stricken young man moved to Canada. In 1855, while staying with companion Mr. James Sackville, he received news from Ireland of his mother being terribly ill. He wrote a poem to comfort his mother called Pray Without Ceasing. It was later set to music and renamed by Charles Converse, becoming the hymn, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Joseph did not have any intention nor dream that his poem would be for publication in a newspaper and later becoming a favorite hymn among the millions of Christians around the world. How often have we sung it? About 1857, he moved near to Port Hope, Ontario, where he again fell in love and was due to be married. But in August 1860, the young woman suddenly fell ill with pneumonia and died. He then devoted the rest of his life to tutoring, preaching, and helping others. What a friend we have in Jesus. Especially we realize this when there's a need for it. And everything's going well. The world's our friend. Amen. No enemies, but boy, when things start going wrong, we need a friend. I want to talk to you tonight about friendship. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that as we talk about this tonight and share my thoughts on friendship from verses in the Bible, that you'll speak to our hearts. God, help us to be friends. There's so many out there that are friendless, that needs someone like me to come beside them, put an arm around them, and love them. And Lord, all of us see people like that, sometimes relatives, sometimes total strangers. But God, give us a compassion one to another and help us to be loving and kind, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing is, friends love at all times. Romans 17:17. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. We have all probably had and been both kinds. Friends through thick and thin, fair weather, sometimes foul weather. It's good to be friends when everything's going well, isn't it? We can pat each other on the back and shake hands and have a smile of greeting. But what happens when things have gone astray and that friendship just doesn't seem to mean to you what it used to? Sometimes friends do you wrong. It's usually your closest friends that can hurt you the worst. That's why there's so much divorce going on right now. Those ones closest to you can be the most detrimental in your lifetime, to themselves and to you. Now, a friend, a true friend, will not be condemning, but will be honest. And when a friend is honest with you, and sometimes it may smack you in the face, don't take offense at it if it's from a true friend. It's from somebody trying to get your goat or to set you back. Ignore it and go on. They're not a friend. They're not worth giving the time of day. Amen? I haven't had very many people in my life like that, but I'm not going to let anybody get me down. You see, God and me make a majority. And as long as I'm living for God and I feel like I'm serving God, nobody can destroy that. Nobody can deter me from doing that. Sometimes I deter myself from being what God wants me to be. But I don't have time to let people try and destroy my faith. On Facebook, I've got one particular relative that chides me quite often for my independent fundamental Baptist position on some of my things. He's one of these new evangelical church members, come as you are and dress how you want. Let's just love people to the Lord. And, tries to put us down for being hard-hearted and things. But listen, truth hurts sometimes. And we need to be truthful, but in a kind way. And I answer him a little bit, but I'm not going to argue with him. If he comes to my house and we can sit down face to face, I'll talk to him about that. But I'm not going to let him deter me. I know my Bible, and I know what's right. I know they pull verses out of the Bible, and they say, but the Bible says this. Yeah, but I know what the rest of the Bible says. Amen? And so on. So a friend loveth at all times, and a friend will not be condemning. Neither should a friend be condoning. Telling you everything's okay when it's not okay. Listen, you're living in sin. It's not okay. It's not okay, husbands and wives, to have stray looks. It's not okay, teenagers, to go out and find yourself friends, and I mean close friends, that are unsaved. That's not okay. And we're not going to condone it. And we're not going to pat you on the back and say, well, everything's going to... No, it's not going to work out. You play with fire, you get burnt. Yes, sir. Right. I mean, just look at people that it's happened to. And a friend will tell you that. They'll not condone your sin and your actions and overlook it, but they'll chide you for it. Parents, be a true friend to your children. Don't let your children go the way of the world and just yell and scream. Children screaming in public are a menace. An absolute menace. Preachers can yell and it's okay. But not kids. Not babies. In airports, in restaurants, grocery store. I mean, wherever the parents take kids and they scream and holler and the parents just go on like, well, that's as natural as breathing. It ain't. Right. Never was until this generation. Nobody my age and much younger than me got by with stuff like that. I mean, if you screamed and hollered and fussed with your parents, they gave you something to really scream about. So parents, love your children, but don't be condoning of their... I'm not going to say evil and wicked ways. I'm just going to say natural ways that they need to overcome. Number two, friends beget friends. Proverbs 18:24. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. How do you have friends? You want to have friends in your life? Obey the Bible, the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Most often, if you treat a person the way you'd like to be treated, they're going to be very kindly affectioned towards you. And guys, when you get old enough, start looking for a girl. Boy, they'll think you're the sweetest thing in this side of heaven. Girls, when you're looking for a guy and they treat you just the way you want to be treated, you think, man, that guy's for me. But parents and the rest of us, we need friends. And you don't make friends by being unfriendly. But let me say this, the most unfriendly person you know needs your friendship. Amen. Sometimes we got to go against the grain. And they think, well, they don't like me. They don't want me around. They don't seem to appreciate anything I do for them. Well, keep on doing it. Keep on doing it. Because you're not doing it for them, you're doing it for the Lord. A friend must show himself friendly. Not just to current friends. It's easy to do unto the friends that you have and be nice and courteous. But to those needing a friend, and mostly to the unfriendly. Sometimes I have a habit here at church or out in public seeing people and just making a friendly comment to them like I've known them all my life. And, you know, most people respond to it and give you something back. Somebody will just walk right by and, what are you trying to do? I need some money. That's what I'm trying to do. No, you got to show yourself friendly. And boy, people that are unfriendly need a friend. Number three, friends can be truthful. Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Friends may see things in you that you don't see. You know, we think that everything we do is just apropos and on the level. And let's face it, sometimes we go askew and we walk in a way that's not. Maybe you lose your temper somewhere. And you say something to someone that you shouldn't. And a friend happens to hear it. And they say, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, do you realize what you just did, what you just said? It may have been to an unsaved person that you do or say something like that. Or even to a relative. Parents, I've seen parents that do discipline their kids, but in my estimation, in a wrong manner. Shut up, kid, I told you to shut up. And just nasty and wicked. If I know somebody, well, no, I'm not going to go up to a stranger as much as I'd like to. But if I heard one of you treating one of your children like that, I would get on you. And, you know, if you were unkind in your discipline, that's as wrong as no discipline at all. You're teaching a child that's probably going to ingrain in them more rebellion. You'll love more people to the Lord than you will in chastisement. They may see things in you that you don't see, won't see, or cannot see. You know, we just think we're the cat's meow. I mean, man, we have achieved, haven't we? And we're on top of everything. Well, baloney. I don't care who you are. Anyone in this congregation tonight, me included, can do things wrong, say things wrong, react in ways that's not pleasing to the Lord. And I would hope if I ever do it, that one of my friends here would say, Brother Joe, think about what you just said or how you just reacted. A friend can do that. Truthfulness from a friend does not mean he's not a friend. But as a friend, do not be a fault finder. There are some people self-appointed, God's little henchmen to go around and got you. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about honesty, integrity, wanting to help a person better themselves. Not that you're better than them, but you see in the moment a need. Because the next moment, it may be you. And if somebody does that to you, don't retaliate and say, boy, I'm going to get them. Because God will give you something to get them, and you'll end up losing a friend. Be kind. Friends make us better. Number four. Proverbs 27:17. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Just like sharpening your equipment, the knives, and the sickles and things like that. Iron sharpeneth iron, so man sharpeneth the countenance. Number one, pick friends you can look up to. Be careful about picking friends. Best place to find a good friend is right here where you're at. I would hope that anybody that needs a friend could count them up and say, Brother Joe, could you help me? Maybe some advice. Maybe some physical work. Brother Tommy, be glad to help you. Or Levi, or somebody younger. But no, I look for opportunities to help people. I'm so thankful to come in the back door and see the young people at the door. Swinging the door. Isn't that a blessing to see them help in? Or if somebody's carrying something, can I help you carry that? Can I help you, brother? Can I be a blessing in your life? But pick friends you can look up to. Number two, pick friends you can follow. Some people go places, do things that you don't want to go that direction. You don't want them as your friends. Oh, come on, just one time, not going to hurt you guys. Maybe a fellow at work or something. We're going to stop by and get a beer on the way home. Get you a Coke. Just stop by and come in and talk with it. That's probably how more drunkards got started than anything else. Abstain. Get away from it. Flee evil. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And if you got friends that want to take you in the wrong direction, you better go somewhere else. Pick friends you can look up to. Pick friends you can follow. Number three, pick friends you can lead. I love it. Brother Marty's been coming. I don't know why he's not here. He's not here, is he? But in the last quite a few months, he's been coming with me to Sunday school and church and evening service. And it's exciting. He comes over. He's my neighbor. He lives right across the street from me. And he'll come over to my house and we'll talk. We'll sit there and pray. We'll drink coffee. And he has questions. And I've been saved 50 years. He's been saved 2 years. I hope I've got a little bit of wisdom and a little bit of something that I can impart in his life that will help him to be a leader in his home and win his children to the Lord and see some great things done. Pick some friends you can lead and help them. Number five, friends with God is the ultimate experience in life. James 2:23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I think that's about the ultimate compliment that we could have. Not to bring God down to my level and say, God's my good buddy, and we... No, God doesn't come down to anybody's level. God's desire is to elevate us above the world, elevate us above the things that are detrimental to our Christian life. And that's what the friendship of God is. Most important question you can answer in your life, what does God say about you? He said of Abraham, he's my friend. Remember, God, Jesus, friend that sticketh closer than a brother. What a friend we have in Jesus. That's the song we sing. Is with you anywhere and everywhere you go. There's no time, day or night, awake or asleep, working or idling, that Jesus is not right there with you. Remember this. He is always the silent one in your conversation, whether you're talking or whether you're listening. He's right there with you if you're saved. We that are saved are the friends of Jesus. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But think about this. Jesus can be our best friend or our worst enemy. People just think God's there for us and he's going to overlook. And he overlooks a lot. But there's one thing he doesn't overlook, and that's your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In John 1:11 and 12, it says he came unto his own, and his own received him not, the Jews. But to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. When you become a son of God, you're a friend of Jesus. And he's a friend that'll stick closer than a brother, through thick and thin, through good and bad, whatever, he'll be right there with you. But if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, he will be the worst enemy in your life, because the day of judgment, he'll say, "Depart from me, ye that work evil, I never knew you." It's not his choice. It's not his choice. It's yours. It's yours. Because right now, tonight, you've got the choice. Lord Jesus, I come to you, and I'm trusting in you and you only. Marty and I called on a lady down in Sullivan this last week, and I presented the claims of salvation to her. And she was one of these, "Well, I'm doing the best I can." And I explained to her that our works of righteousnesses that we do to try and gain favor with God, God wants us to do good. I'm not saying that. But if we're doing it to find favor with God for salvation, our works are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. And if you think you can find favor with God by doing good things, and her final answer was this, and then it was in a business and somebody come in and we had to cut it. I've never heard that before. I've never heard that before. Her mom was a preacher. She said, I've never heard that before. You see, religion tells you do, do, do. Be the best you can, and God will have mercy on you. No, God will condemn you to a Christless eternal hell, because every time you do something to draw closer to God, you're stomping on the blood of Jesus Christ. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ and that alone that we have salvation by faith in Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the Wednesday night crowd. I know I'm preaching to the choir. There may be one here tonight. You say, I've been trying. Man, if you're like me, back when I was trying, I tried. But the harder I tried to get the good works, the more bad works I had, and always outweighed the good works. And the night I found out that Jesus paid it all to Him I owe, all I had to do was give Him myself, and He gave me eternal life. And you can have that tonight. I hope that you'll search deep down in your hearts. And I'm sure most everyone here will say, Brother Joe, I did that a long time ago or a short time ago. And thank God for that. But if you're here tonight and you don't have that assurance in your heart, we're going to give an invitation. And if you'll come forward tonight and meet me or Brother Jack or one of us down here and just say, I'm not sure about that, but I want to be. Remember this, what a friend we have in Jesus if we belong to Him. But if you don't belong to Jesus, He'll be your worst enemy in eternity when they say, depart from me, ye that work evil, I never knew you. What a shame to come this close to being saved and walk out lost. Heavenly Father, I don't know the heart of every person here, but I do know what the Bible says. And for those of us that have asked Jesus Christ to come into our heart, and by faith trusted Him, not in our goodness, not any merits that we have, nothing do I bring but myself alone. May tonight be the night of salvation. There may be a young person here that's just now beginning to deal with this thought of, am I saved, am I lost? God help them today. Maybe there's some here that's been going through some kind of motions. God, you know the heart of every person here. Glorify yourself, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.